part two, let's narrow the focus. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Mark the 10th chapter. Everybody, open your Bibles. Mark the 10th chapter. Children, I hope you brought your Bibles. We want to see part two, narrowing your focus. I think the bulletin says narrowing the focus. As we look at who is able to stand at His appearing. Who will stand at His appearing? You have Mark the 10th chapter, everyone? Okay, here's a familiar story that we're all aware of. And that starts in verse number 17. Now he was going out on the road. One came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And the young man answered him and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth up." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And he said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Yes, my friends, we need to narrow the focus. First of all, I want you to see, number one, Jesus loved this man. Did you catch that? It says it very clearly. In verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. In spite of the fact that Jesus knew his heart, Jesus knew his mind, Jesus knew everything about him, it says he loved him. Jesus loves every one of us. That's what motivates him to do what he does, is because he loves us. In fact, notice what it says here in the Desire of Ages. It says he loved him and hungered to give him that peace and that grace and joy which would materially change his character. Desire of Ages 5:19. Jesus loved him. And don't forget, we're told in 1 John that God is love. That's what He is. He's love. And so because of that, He deals with all of us from this point of view. So let it be known, in case you missed this little nuance in this story that is in Matthew, it is in Luke, as well as Mark. Mark says he loved him. Number two, I want you to notice something very clearly, and that is what? Jesus wanted him. Yes, Jesus wanted him. In fact, let's go back to verse 21. Then Jesus looked at him, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack." He said that because he wanted him. He wanted him to be part of his team. He saw the potential in this man. And by the way, when he looks at all of us, he sees the potential. It amazes me how he's able to do that when often we look at each other and see faults. Have you ever experienced that? When Jesus looks at us, he sees the potential. I pray for that kind of spiritual insight and attitude. But I want it to be understood today. Not only did Jesus love this man, But Jesus wanted this man. In fact, look how it's put in the Desire of Ages. Christ was drawn to this young man. Christ, seeing into his character, loved him. Jesus longed to see him a co-worker with him. He longed to make him like himself. A mirror in which the likeness of God would be reflected. He longed to develop the excellence of his character and sanctify it to the master's use. If the ruler had then given himself to Christ, he would have grown in the atmosphere of his presence. If he had made this choice, how different would have been his future. Have you ever looked at yourself this way? And I hope this Desire of Ages, still page 519. I hope it changes your concept. Why? Because Jesus longs to see you a co-worker with Him. Amen. He longs to make you like Himself. A mirror in which the likeness of God would be reflected. He longs to develop in you and I the excellency of our character, which I don't even think some of us can see, and sanctify it to the Master's use. I wonder if you ever looked at yourself that way. And now you know why Satan works so hard on us. He does not want us to mirror the character of Jesus. But I also don't want you to miss this, and that is Jesus wanted him. And what he said next to him was because it would interfere their relationship that he wanted to have with this young man. And God wants a relationship with you and I. And He longs to make us like Himself. And Satan is obstructing that from happening every way and shape he can. We must narrow our focus. If the world is our focus, guess what we will be mirrored, a mirror of? The world. If Jesus is our focus, then we will mirror Jesus. And don't forget, we're all in this struggle together. If you're dealing with a sin or sins that you know are wrong, and you were to come to me, instead of saying to you, shame on you, I would say, narrow your focus to Jesus. You know, Steps of Christ has one of the most incredible quotes that you will find in the spirit of prophecy. When mind dwells upon self, are you familiar with this? I believe it's page 72. When mind dwells upon self, it is turned away from Christ, its source of strength and life. Hence, it is Satan's constant effort to avert the attention away from Jesus. We got to narrow the focus. If we want to stand when Jesus appears, We've got to narrow the focus. If we're going to shut the world out, which all of us have to do, all of us are struggling this. In fact, we find ourselves standing before Jesus as if we were the rich young ruler. We've got to narrow the focus. That's how we're going to defeat this thing. Jesus wants to mirror Himself in us. I can't think of a better privilege. Do you know when you hear a child say, "I pattern my life after you," you go just like this. And then I go, I don't know why he's doing that, but Jesus wants to make us like him. And so, my friends, Jesus not only loved him, but he wanted him. Therefore, he said to him what needed to be said. These aren't words that we welcome. These aren't words we want to hear. These are words that keep certain people from coming to church. Do you know that? Because they don't tickle the ear. They challenge our behavior. And the beauty of this is we see it isn't our behavior Jesus is after so much, it's a relationship. And that's why we work on our behavior. So that Christ can mirror himself in us. And so as we narrow the focus, we see, first of all, Jesus loves us. Secondly, he wants us. And the last thing, this is amazing to me. If you wonder how Jesus could tell a rich person to sell all that he had, do not forget one thing. I wish I could have thought of a more intellectual way of wording it. I couldn't. So what did I put? Jesus outgave him. What Jesus gave up far and away exceeded what this man was asked to give up. And so as he stood there looking at him, asking him to do this very hard thing, Christ had already done it to a degree that this young man would never experience his entire life. Never, never. I didn't even know what text to use, and all of a sudden it came to me, John 3:16. For God so loved His world, He gave His Son. He gave Him. We plumb the depths of that. How do we plumb the depths of it? We understand that in order to become our sacrifice, or not our sacrifice, but our substitute, by dying on the cross of Calvary, Jesus gave up one of the three prerogatives that belong to God and God alone for eternity. One, all-knowing. Two, all-powerful. But three, ever always present. No. No more for Jesus. Why? He has a body. And he will forever have that body. And that's why it was so expedient that Jesus go away, because the Holy Spirit was coming, because the Holy Spirit could be everywhere at once, but Jesus can no longer be everywhere at once. Why? Because God gave his Son. Because Jesus gave himself and sacrificed one of the three prerogatives that only God can have. And he will forever bear the marks on his hands to remind us of the great love that God has for us. And so he turned to that rich young ruler and he said, "One thing you lack. You must sell everything you have and you must give it to the poor." And then he said what? "Come, follow me." Been there, Jesus said, done that. I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't already done at a level you will never fathom, not even in eternity. So Jesus not only loves us, Jesus not only wants us, but Jesus outgave every one of us. In fact, we could add up everything we gave in sum total for the history of the world, and it still doesn't come near Christ. He wanted the heavenly treasure, but he wanted also the temporal advantages his riches could bring him. He was sorry that such a condition existed. He desired eternal life, but he was not willing to make the what? Sacrifice. The cost of eternal life seemed too great. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, since I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, there's two things I learned. Number one, I never ever want to be a prophet. Never. If you do, you're crazy. Number two, I don't want to be rich. Obviously, it's too tempting. If you have that blessing, I'm glad you're a member of this church. If you're 100% committed to Christ. But if you have that blessing, you're not committed to Christ, go to some other church. Because God is not going to bless. I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be a prophet. But I do want to mirror Jesus' character. And I go, Lord, I don't know how you can handle it. So I want to leave you with a thought here. Because the question is, and who can stand at his appearing? That's straight from Malachi 3:2. And so I'm going to read you a scripture, and then we're going to sing it. Okay? So you read it with me. This is out of the King James. It says, if you ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:1-3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye are dead, ye are dead. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay, let's try it again. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye are dead, ye are dead. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. All right, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be a better singer. But that's how to memorize Scripture. And what a beautiful scripture to close the sermon with to think about. Because we must narrow our focus. I want you to meet former pastor, Adventist pastor, Ryan Bell. I wonder how many of you read the article? Ryan Bell. Yeah, this was amazing. It was in the Las Vegas Sun Tuesday, December 30th, 2014. Ryan was an Adventist minister in Hollywood, and he decided for 1 year to forget about God. 1 whole year. In fact, here's what it says. For the next 12 months, this was a year and some months ago, I will live as if there's no God, he wrote in his blog. I will not pray. I will not read the Bible for inspiration, refer to God as the cause of things, or hope that God might intervene or change my own or someone else's circumstances. Parentheses, I trust that if there really is a God, that God will not be too flummoxed. By the way, I looked that word up. It means confused. By my foolish experiment and allow others to suffer as a result. By the way, that's what it says right here in that article. Now, I found it very interesting what seemed to have upset started the whole ball rolling, and I thought I'd share this with you. It was hardly surprising when after graduation, Bell became a pastor assigned to a clutch of churches in suburb of Philadelphia. His new parishioners, though still conservative, didn't fit the mold he'd known before. Some wore makeup and jewelry, and they smoked and cursed and spent money on Saturdays. It all hit me at once, Bell said. I mean, the messiness of the journeys of my congregants. I was meeting people who were living with a goodness I always hoped for, yet they did things that the church put in Bible didn't approve of. And so he began a journey in which he wandered all over the place. It ended in a divorce from his wife of 17 years. And then the church officials released him because of his different and theological thinkings. And so he decided to do this 12-month thing. And he wrote a blog about it. And what's really interesting, when he wrote the blog, hundreds of comments poured in. And you can bet from who? All the agnostics and atheists and, oh man, you're great, you're cool, we love you, we support you. But he then became totally jobless because when he announced that, it cost him his teaching position at Fuller Seminary as well as the Evangelical Azusa Pacific University. So not only did he lose his wife and lose his position in the Adventist Church, his teaching positions were taken away. He said, in April, I could very easily say there is no God. I feel that way a lot of the time. So January 1st was the end of the year. Some of you need to look up Pastor Ryan Bell's blog and see what he's saying now. But here's what he closed the article with in the Las Vegas Sun on December 30th. I do think I now seen both sides of the coin. God never asked you to see both sides of the coin, remember? Being an atheist, being with the atheists, they can have the same sort of obnoxious certainty that some Christians have. And I don't want to be a part of that. I feel like I'm stuck in the middle. I want to be for something good, but I don't want boundaries. And religion just feels like that, a very binding thing. You cannot narrow your focus to be an atheist and think you're going to come out at the other end a Christian. But why did I read this is the last paragraph, so that you will see what really chews him up is the boundaries. I require a lot of work and I require a lot of sacrifice. Because I put in a lot of work to you people and me. And I put in a lot of sacrifice for all of you. Let's narrow the focus.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.